We are back in Acts chapter number 26. To be honest, and we're going to be there for a couple weeks. We are, our series and Sunday morning is, of course, with our theme, being disciples and making disciples. We started that last week. We were supposed to start the first week, but I got sick that week. Last year, our team was reaching them, teaching them about reaching people with the gospel, reaching people that need the Lord, and then teaching them to grow in their faith. As I've mentioned, the missing part of that was us, those who are doing the reaching, those who are doing the teaching. We are left on this earth, and we'll get to it in a minute, to be a witness of Christ, to share the gospel with our lips, our life, everything about us. But we will not do that if we are not true disciples of Jesus Christ. All of us are to be disciples. We get saved, we become Christians, and after that, we need to take the next step of faith, which is living for Jesus Christ. That's being a disciple. That's growing in our faith, and that is something we need to decide to do. On Thursday nights, we've been talking about that since last year. What does it mean to be a disciple? And I don't want us just to be a church of just people that attend church, okay? I'm glad we attend church. Thank you for being here. But I hope that we're attending church so that God will work in our lives and we can grow in our faith and grow closer to Him. That's really what a disciple is. We cannot help somebody to be a disciple of Jesus Christ as God encouraged us to do if we are not one ourselves. The verse it's our theme, this series goes to our theme, we're in Acts 26, eventually we'll get to John 15, but our theme verse is John 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing, okay? Anything that happens in our life, whether it's happening to us personally or happens to us as we're trying to help others, is a result of the fact that we abide in Christ. We have a relationship with Him, and then as we're connected to Him, the strength that we need to do those things flows through us, and if we have a healthy relationship, we will bear fruit. And so the goals for us this year are to be disciples, to have God work in our life, to have God strengthen us so that we can make disciples, we can help others, and we can strengthen and encourage others. We started last week by looking at this verse, which deals with God's vision for Paul that he was given at the moment of his salvation. And it ties in very well with being a disciple and making disciple. This is Paul's defense before King Agrippa and Festus. The Jews had accused Paul of dissension and you know, they, of course, turning from their faith, which was not a legal issue, but they were trying to make it a legal issue. And they were able to stir up trouble for Paul. And Paul, going through all the issues, finally had enough and just said, look, I appeal to Caesar, which was his right as a Roman citizen. And so as he's getting there and heading towards Rome through the book of Acts, he meets with several leaders. And here he meets with King Agrippa and Festus. And Paul always used, any time he was brought before them, he always, because in sense the accusations against him were of a religious nature, Paul always used the opportunity to witness and tell what God did to him. And we looked at that a little bit last week. We saw that God saved Paul and gave him a vision, and Paul said he wasn't disobedient to that heavenly vision. And Paul was getting ready for that, and he's sharing that with, King Agrippa. Last week, as we're looking at this vision and how it plays out, we said that the vision has platform. In other words, the vision that God had was basically Paul's life. It starts with the person that God's given the vision to. And we saw that Paul got saved and Paul worked in his life and gave him a vision. We saw that in his life. Thanks, guys. Go make sure that's okay. So, Paul's vision can be summed up in our theme, being a disciple, making disciples. He was a great man of faith, one who knew God and knew God's truth. That's being a disciple. But Paul spent his life making disciples. What did he do? He traveled. He started churches. He was a missionary. And that would not have happened unless Paul was also a disciple. So last week, as we look at Paul obeying this vision, the key verse in this chapter I want us to see about Paul, if you'll look at it in verse 19. We're going to go through the chapter. And as I was reading this, this was one message, okay? That was last week. And as I studied the chapter and studied it, so much just jumped out. But the key is verse 19. And we're going to look at what God told him. But Paul said in verse 19, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." We have to obey the vision God has for us once we're saved to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. So let's look at the vision and let's move on this morning to the next couple points. We said last week the vision has platform. I explained that. This is new. Number two, I want you to see that the vision has purpose. The platform was the life of the one who is saved. The purpose will be the actions of the one who is saved. We'll look at the verse in a minute. Christianity, by the way, is not passive. Christianity is active. It's not just, God saved me, I'm on my way to heaven, and that's the end of it. We receive Christ, but that's the passive part. The active part is, what am I going to do once I've trusted Christ as my Savior? What am I going to do from that time until the time God takes me to heaven? Well, God has a purpose. He had a purpose for Paul, and he also has a purpose for us. The question will we be obedient to that vision as Paul was? We must remember that God works in us in order that he may work through us. We mentioned that God doesn't just save us so we become some type of trophy that's polished and put up on a case. God has something for us to do. He has an action for us. There's two in the vision that God has, two purposes. The first purpose was for him to save. As soon as he's saved, look at verse 16. God says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet." In other words, here was Paul, because of the light, because of what's going on, he did what any of us would do if God appeared to us like that. He fell on his face. And he's like, I'm listening to God. And God said, enough, get up. Said, enough of the worship, now it's time to do something about it. Rise upon your feet, I got something for you. "For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." He said, here's why I'm here. Now we look last week, Paul was fighting against God and he was fighting against Christ. He was actively against Christ, and now that's done. Jesus has appeared to him. He says, quit fighting against me. He's going to receive Christ. He goes, now I'm appearing to you for this purpose, to make thee a minister. There was a purpose. Now, thank God, if you're saved, thank God that we have salvation. I'm so glad God reached down and shared the gospel, and I'm glad I'm saved. And, as we saw last week, I'm glad God worked in my life. I shudder to think what kind of person I would be if I had not got saved. My life would have been a wreck. I was already on my way. Okay? And God reached down, and I got saved, and he did all kinds of things for me, but I can't just sit back and say, thank you for that. He said, I got a purpose for you, as he told Paul, to make thee a minister. Wrapped up in salvation is a purpose in life. Amen. Understand that. Salvation isn't just about a change of your eternal address, although that's the most important thing. But wrapped up inside of that, God gave you a purpose. Now, we all have responsibilities to fulfill in life. We all have bills to pay, families to raise, things to do. But that's not our ultimate purpose. That's part of it. But he has a purpose for us and our relationship with him. And he says here, to make thee a minister. Minister means servant. His desire was now that Paul would serve him. And by the way, that's what God wants for us too. God wants us to serve him. God wants us to be actively involved in using who we are for his eternal purposes. By the way, do you know Jesus is our example? Turn over to John chapter 13, if you will. John chapter 13, I want us to see a few verses here. John chapter 13 and verse 12. On Thursday night, we looked at discipleship and disciples accept the requirement of being like Jesus Christ. He is our physical example of how we are to live our life. That's heavy, okay? But we strive for that. And so we see the things that Jesus did on this earth, and so often he's trying to teach us how to be like him, how to do the things that he did. And one of these things is, Jesus, believe it or not, God in the flesh, was a servant. John 13, verse 12. So after he had washed their feet, he washes the disciples' feet, and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. That was a lowly task. And yet Jesus said, and yet Jesus washed their feet. And he says, you call me your Lord and Master, and I am. But let me tell you what I'm trying to explain to you here. You go do what I did. He served them. Understand this. I want to be like Jesus. You are never more like Jesus Christ than when you are serving somebody else. Amen. You aren't. We like the position of Jesus, but we don't like the practice of Jesus. That's the vision. If I ask you in this room today, what has Jesus done for you? I could get all kinds of good answers. By the way, we could probably sit here and rejoice for hours in those. He saved me from hell. Thank God for that. Hell's not a good place. I know we don't like to talk about it, and I don't like it. Hell's not a good place. But the only reason but one of the good things that we talk about is because you don't have to go there. God has provided. Thank God. I will have all eternity to say, I'm glad I'm here. Because I don't have to go to hell. He saved me from hell. Do you know he rescued me from sin in my life? Now, I wasn't some drug dealer, but I was not a good kid. And he not only rescued me from the sin that was in my life, he rescued me from the sin I would have continued in my life. Thank God for that. He changed my marriage completely. My personality, if I don't know the Lord, I probably would not have been married very long. Okay? And I'm not perfect, but neither are you, so don't give me that look, okay? But man, how does a marriage work? Two people that are completely different, and it's you know what? Because if you're saved, you can make it through there. God, he just changes. You have different goals. You have different ways of looking at life. He's worked in you could say, he's worked in my family. Some of you, it's like, he's given me a purpose in life. Man, you were just wandering aimlessly, right? I used to work at a warehouse, and we had this guy, and he'd just disappear. And we'd say, oh, he suffered from temporary moments of aimless wandering. He'd just take off. We didn't know where he was. Some of us, that's just how we live our life. We're just bumping around, you know, and life is about, did my football team win? I'm glad that's not my life because my team did not win, okay? And I'm praying for you 49er fans, all right, that you just love Jesus and forget about all that worldly garbage. Okay, sorry. But he's given me a life of joy. Amen. By the way, he tells us to have joy. Paul had joy. He's given me encouragement of church family and Christians. But let's just say I flip the table now. I said, we could talk all day about what Jesus has done for us. Let's flip the table for a minute. Let me ask you this. Let's think about it. What am I doing for Jesus? And I'm not trying to guilt you. I was serving God I was in church for 6 months. And I was just soaking it all in. I was having a great time. And finally it hit me. And the pastor preached a message like, it's time for us to get out and do something for somebody else. And I'm like, let's go. What are you doing for Jesus? Christianity should not be a one-sided affair. Now, before we get on to the next point, how do I serve Jesus? We think, what do you do? Well, first of all, you do things for others. If you read Matthew chapter 25, and I understand what that's talking about, but there's a principle in there. Insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Jesus is saying he equates when we do something for others in his name as if we're doing it for him. By the way, if you drove a bus today, you drove those people, the people you brought to church, you brought Jesus to church. You're serving him. And we do it sometimes, and someone has a need, and we'll give them a gift, or we'll help them out with that need. That's, if you're doing with the right motives, it's like you're doing that for Jesus Christ. He's not physically on this earth, so you know how we serve him? We serve others, and he likes that. And I would encourage you, if you're not doing that, let's start serving others. And you serve Jesus. Become involved in a ministry of the church. Hey, if this is your church and you're a member, find somewhere you can get involved. You say, I'm not really a bombastic. You could be a parking attendant. By the way, if you can sing, be in the choir. Okay? If you can play music, do the music. If you've been around here, you can help with that. There are so many things to be involved with that we can be involved with, and you want to work together. It's good to work through a church. You're going to be more fruitful. You're going to have encouragement. You're going to have others to be with you. But let's be involved with serving others. Remember this, membership has privileges, and I'm glad for our church members, and I'm glad I'm a member of the church, but it also comes with responsibilities. Every member, a minister. Find your place. Talk to your Sunday school. What can I do? Where can I be involved? How can I be in have a life of helping somebody else? Every saint should be a servant. And then just using your talents or your spiritual gifts for him. You know, sometimes we do things, we're not talented. When we were doing the building at the beginning and we were doing most of the building ourselves, like, look, we never did studs and all that stuff. We figured it out, okay? And that was not our gift, but we figured it out. But there are other people that came in, and they knew exactly what was going on. We had a guy one time, we were putting the rebar in. He didn't even go to our church. But he was a Christian from another church in the area. He drove by and saw it, and he said, I'm off today. And he grabbed his tools and started wiring rebar. But it's like, you have talents, and if God's given you some talents, use those for him. Okay, and God's gifted each one of us. Thankfully, we all have different personalities. Amen. I'm glad everybody's not like me, and I'm glad everybody's not like you, particularly some of you. How you doing, Raul? Okay, but you know, all our different personalities and all of our different talents, we blend it together, and everything is good. So he says, "Listen, I gave you this purpose that you might be a minister." Continue in verse 16, to make thee a minister and a witness. So what's the purpose? To serve and to share. It goes beyond serving Jesus. It involves sharing Jesus. Amen. Do you know God is not looking for silent partners? You ever see people sometimes they invest in a thing? Like, I'll just invest. I'm just a silent partner. God doesn't want silent partners. We have enough of those. You know what God wants? Somebody that will actively be a witness of Jesus Christ. You know, the only way this world will know Jesus Christ is through you and I. Yep. That's it. And I've heard stories, and I just, you know, I was sleeping one night, and Jesus appeared to me in a dream. Just be careful what you eat before you go to bed, okay? That's not, the gospel comes. God has ordained that the gospel comes from us to others. Us to others. We have to be willing to be a witness, to share our faith. Now, the next point we'll look at as the verse goes on, we'll talk about what we are to share. The point is, we are to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Now, all of us are witnesses. But here's the question. What kind of witness are you? We're all going to be witnesses. You're either going to be an obedient witness or you're going to be a disobedient witness. After God laid this out to Paul with a clear conscience and a pure heart, he could say to King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. You know what he said? He goes, I took what he said and I went with it. We're all witnesses. We can either be good witnesses or we can be bad witnesses. When Jesus was calling his disciples, he made it very clear what he wanted from them. Turn over to Matthew chapter number 4. I want you to see these verses. Matthew chapter number 4. Jesus called a lot of his key men. Many of them were fishers. And he used that to teach them what he wanted. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. Says this, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, Matthew 4:18, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me. Now, by the way, I tire sometimes. So many Christians, I'm a follower of Christ. Okay, let's move on to the next point, please. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What did they do? And straightway they left their nets and followed them. Can you imagine that? I mean, some Christians have been saved forever and they still won't follow Christ. He saw them and said, hey, drop it. Let's go. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. They're like, out. Let's go. I like that. By the way, you don't have to be saved forever to be a witness. Okay? If you got saved, you know the particulars. Have at it. He wanted them to follow him, but he also wanted them reaching others. That's why he said, I will make you fishers of men. In fact, this verse, if you really understand it, then we would know that if we are not reaching others, we are not following him. Now, I want us to think about that. He said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. So if that's his goal for us, and we say we're following him, but we have no interest in reaching out to others for his sake, let me just ask you, are we really following him? Not to the extent that he wants us to, no. You cannot follow Jesus and not be involved in others' lives. Two greatest commands, love the Lord thy God, boom, boom, boom. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Yep. That wasn't even, he asked for one and the guy goes, they go together. You gotta take them both. You can't have one without the other. And so we are to share our faith. Paul understood that. Now, so the vision has the purpose. We see that to serve and to share, but there's particulars. The vision has some particulars as we are serving and sharing. What are these? Look at verse 16. He said, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen. The vision has particulars. You know what the two particulars are? The first one is truth. The things which this thou hast seen. What were the things that he had seen? He's seen Jesus Christ. He was saved. That's his testimony. And by the way, he gave it over and over and over. Paul was a testimony machine. He told exactly what happened to him. He'd tell about his past as we looked at last week, and he was totally misunderstood about Jesus Christ. And then Jesus saved him, and now he's out reaching the world, a minister of the things which thou hast seen. All of us who are saved can be a witness because it happened to us. What is a witness? A witness is one who tells what he knows, what he has seen, and what has happened to him. That's a witness. If you're saved, then you've met Jesus Christ, you can share that with others. You can talk about how Jesus saved you. Now, you may not know everything. And the reason we can give the testimony is because it's personal experience. We can share what happened to us. One day, I was lost. One day, I was on my way, and I heard the truth of the gospel. I trusted Christ, and my eternal destiny was changed. Whenever I talk to somebody, if I'm witnessing to them, I always talk about my testimony, about how the day I got saved and how that happened, because I was there. Our life is to be a testimony. And by the way, let me say this. We go out on Tuesday nights. We start this Tuesday night. That's not the only time to share your faith. Do you know you're a witness? When you got saved, from that point on, are you a witness like just a couple hours? Are you a Christian just a couple hours a day? You're a Christian forever. 24/7. 24/7. So you have an opportunity to be a witness of Christ everywhere you go, every opportunity you have. You do it two ways. You do it with your lips and telling the truth. But you know, you also do it with your life. Now, you can't just do it with your life. Your life backs up what you tell people. Okay? And again, let's go back to it. What kind of testimony are we, good or bad? Can I use you again, Jerry? Yeah. Jerry told me years ago he was working at a business. He's not like this now, so that's why he lets me use his story. He was working somewhere, and he was saved, but he wasn't a good testimony. And he said, one of the guys that worked there came up to him and said, can I ask you a question? He goes, yeah. He goes, are you a Christian? And if I can get it wrong, I get the particular. Jerry goes, yeah, I am. He goes, so am I. Can you do me a favor? Don't let people know, because I'm trying to reach these guys. Yeah. And you're a bad testimony.
Yep.
Wow. That takes guts. Okay. But it helped.
Yeah.
See, listen, let's be a good testimony. Everywhere we go there, you know, people sometimes are looking for excuses not to believe the church, the truth. Don't let it be. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to walk on water and be a phony. I'm not talking about that. But people will see if you're genuine.
Yep.
That guy's not perfect, but you know, he works hard. He tries to do the right thing. When I hear what he has to say, I might just listen to that. But we're a testimony of everything. So he said, you're going to be a testimony of the things which you have seen. That was his salvation experience. And then he says about the truth. And of the things in which I will appear to thee, unto thee. See, he said, you can be a testimony of what you know, what you've seen, what's happening right now. He goes, but as you go on in years, I'm going to teach you more truth. And you're going to be a testimony of that truth you learn through the years. And Paul grew deeper in his faith as time went on. Now, he started witnessing pretty much right off the bat. But as he went on and he learned more, he had more to give people. He grew deeper in his faith and he can help people in a greater way. God wants us to reach people with the Gospels.
Right.
We have more to give people the longer that we grow in our faith. Now here's the point. Are you committed to being a witness? Are you committed to God's purpose for your life? Now, you may be in here, and I know in a crowd this side, I'm going through some things right now, and I need to get things shored up. And I didn't say we don't do it. Yes. But God's going to work in your life so that you can work in others' lives.
Yeah.
As you are getting help and you're growing your faith and God's helping you through whatever you're going through, you have to understand there's a purpose. God wants you to help others. You know, it's sad sometimes. You'll have someone, they'll come into a church and God will work in their life and God will do great things and change their situation. And then they get used to just sitting around and doing nothing. And God's like, I didn't just shine you up to have you sit in the pew. I want you to go help others. You think of, if you're going through something or you've went through something and God's helped you, do you not think that there are people out there going through that exact same thing? You know, they just don't have the hope. But when they come here, hopefully we can give them that hope.
Yes, sir.
And your life can give them that hope. That's what it is. I want God to work in my life so that I can be a witness and a testimony of the time I get saved and everything I learn. Are we committed to that this morning? Let's all stand together.